Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I'm Gail Seiler, and I'm here with my co-host, Greta Anderson. Hello, Greta.
Hello, Gail, and hello to you, the listener.
Good weekend. Beautiful weather. What did you do?
An extra hour of sleep.
Yeah.
I sewed a costume, and I dug potatoes.
All right.
More potatoes.
It's that time of year.
They just kept coming.
Yeah, and it was so nice to get that extra hour of sleep and to have the sun already brightening the sky when we drove in here this morning for Local Talk.
Yes. And yeah. I think everyone was also very pleased about the outcomes of a couple of sporting events last weekend.
Well, ISU had a big win over Texas. That was something of a surprise, so fans were excited.
And the Royals pulled it out, I guess, in the 14th inning with a five-run inning,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, something. I heard it was extra innings, so some people might have stayed up late to watch that or listen to that. I must admit I was rooting for the Mets because I come from the New York metropolitan area. But they were great games. So we have a number of guests with us today. Melissa Spencer, Deputy Coordinator of the Story County Emergency Management Agency, will be here, and she'll be talking with us about the Emergency Alert System, which can send you emergency messages via phone, email, and text. And that'll be very relevant in light of the water emergency that occurred in Ames this past week. And Allison Walters from the Ames Convention and Visitors Bureau will be here as well, as she is each month, to fill us in on what is going on in Ames. But before we get to those interviews, we're going to follow up on what's been going on at ISU related to the issues of racism and discrimination that have come to light recently, as many students of color have begun to speak up about feeling unwelcome and discriminated against at ISU. To have that conversation, Jasmine Merguia is here with us. Thanks for joining us, Jasmine.
Hello, good morning.
Hi.
It's very early.
But at least the sun's up.
Yes.
Jasmine worked on Local Talk last year, and now she has her own show. We'll let you do a little promo for your show, Jasmine. What's the show called?
So it's called Pan Dulce, which literally translates into sweet bread. And basically we named the show Pan Dulce because me and my co-host were both Mexican-American, and Pan Dulce is something really salient to us in our community. Pan Dulce, sweet bread, it's something that we eat either for breakfast or at night with coffee with our family. So that's why we named it Pan Dulce. And the things that we talk about, or I guess you can listen to, is Latino music. Whether it's in English or Spanish, it just has to be, you know, Latino-inspired. And then we talk about Latino and multicultural social justice issues.
And you have a co-host, is that right?
Yes, co-host. Her name is Berenice Liborio. She's also an Iowa State student.
Okay, and it's on Monday evening.
Yes, Monday evenings at 10 p.m. So click that Play Live Now button on KHOI.
Okay, so people can listen to it on air or on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
But you're here today in another capacity, Jasmine. You're also the Director of Student Diversity in Student Government at ISU.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to talking about the recent proposals and resolutions that student government has put forward to address the racial climate at ISU. But before we get to that, let's recap what has happened at ISU that has called attention to the racial climate and the discrimination experienced by students of color on campus, because perhaps all of our listeners don't know what's been going on. There was the Cyhawk tailgate back in September,
mm-hmm.
at which there was a peaceful protest organized by students against bigotry in response to Donald Trump's visit and his anti-immigrant comments. And at that demonstration, other people who were at the tailgate heckled and became very confrontational, saying insulting things to the demonstrators, tearing a sign, and in at least a few instances, physically attacking the protesters.
Yeah, I was there at that for much of that protest. And I just want to add that there were a lot of supporters who were allied with the students as well. It was not a one-way street, but the hecklers were certainly getting way too much attention.
And then in response to that, there was a forum with President Leith and other administrators, also organized by this, that student group and other groups, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
And KHOI actually aired some segments of that on a show shortly after that occurred. So let's just start with the group that was called Students mm-hmm. Against Bigotry and now has a new name. What is its new
yes,
name?
Yes, the new name for Students Against Bigotry is LUCHA. So what LUCHA stands for is Latinos United for Change. And basically the name change happened because of the demographics of the student leaders who were, you know, there every night planning the forum and, you know, figuring out the resolutions that we were going to present to administration.
So clearly representing a Latino perspective mm-hmm.
yes.
as opposed to a more broad
yes. We will still fight for, you know, obviously all students, but the demographics right now for that student group is majority Latino, yeah.
And did that student group exist before the tailgate?
No, it did not.
So it came together mm-hmm. around the purpose of...
Yeah, from what I understand, Mariel Cibar, the grad student who actually organized and brought together, you know, those forces for the silent protest, it was like, it was just one night they were talking about the name that they were going to go by, and she was talking with a roommate, and her roommate said, well, what about Students Against Bigotry? And so that name kind of just clicked from then on, and so they made a big old banner that said Students Against Bigotry, and that's how it carried forward. I personally really like the name, but then again, the name changed for the demographics of the students.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the events that we just kind of summarized mm-hmm. have ignited larger conversations about mm-hmm. these kinds of things that up until now were not widely discussed at ISU. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's very true. So right after the CyHawk tailgate game, MSA, Multicultural Student Affairs at Iowa State, they actually planned a forum for, you know, multicultural students to come and speak about what had happened that weekend, and that was the following Monday. So literally right after that happened, on the Monday night, it was just not even planned, like, on social media or anything. It just spurred right after that, and actually there was a good amount of people who showed up. It was around 300 people, I think, 300 students, and coming not even just multicultural students, but at that Monday's forum, there was a lot of that same rhetoric, like, I don't feel welcome on campus. Mm-hmm. There have been times of, like, microaggressions, which, you know, if they happen daily, can take a toll on a student's life. Like, maybe once, maybe you'll think that microaggressions were being too dramatic or something, but when they happen constantly and they happen daily, it takes a toll on students' like academic and social life too. So mm-hmm. it was great seeing so many students actually stand up and voice how they felt on campus, because we don't normally get the space to do that. And there was a lot of tears and sadness, but there's also a lot of strength when it came to students sharing their stories of how they felt on campus, because it kind of gave you the sense of, oh, it doesn't just happen to me. Like, it's actually happening to other students. And that in itself, I think, says something about the university.
Mm-hmm. And I know that there were, in addition to that gathering on Monday mm-hmm. night, right after the tailgate, in different departments and schools mm-hmm. and colleges, there were other similar things that both students and faculty attended and either voiced those same things or listened mm-hmm. to others voicing those same things if they weren't within their own experience. So, and faculty as well talking
yes.
about, faculty of color in particular, talking about their experiences.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, new multicultural faculty and staff associations actually formed after that too, you know, trying to back up students and be a voice for us and tool for us as well. So I thought that was great.
And then so since then, student government has been pretty active. I've been following it in the daily mm-hmm. In terms of responding and trying mm-hmm. to keep actual changes coming forward as opposed mm-hmm. to just talking about it and then letting it be dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So I read that they proposed various initiatives
yes.
to the administration about how to improve the experience at ISU, particularly for students of color. And you've been involved in this in your position in
yes.
student government. So can you tell us about some of those? What's the actual word for it? Was it this? Were they resolutions that were passed?
So it's a bill and resolutions that were passed. And so what were these resolutions sprouted out from was actually the Wednesday night forum with administration of, like, Students Against Bigotry and administration as well. So these five recommendations that they have set out for the student body, staff body, and faculty, Iowa State body, to take on not just talk about, to like actually take action on are, number one, creation of a multicultural safe zone program for faculty, staff, graduate assistants, and student leaders. And we have actually talked to the director of LGBT students, Brad, I can't remember his last name, Brad Freuher, I think. But we've discussed how that safe zone program, like in detail, what it entails.
Because that one is already in place. So you're thinking mm-hmm. of that kind of as a model for a new one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then kind of trying to do a multicultural safe zone training, because in the beginning of the school year, each student has to take some, like a Title IX training. And we looked through it, and we actually, like, did it again ourselves during one of the meetings, and we found that there was only, like, two slides, a couple slides on discrimination, and it didn't touch really on mm-hmm. anything based on, like, microaggressions or how you can handle when a student has a real issue on campus.
Mm-hmm. And that's an online training.
Yes,
but
online training.
But student government thought that that was the mm-hmm. little bit in that on racism and discrimination was not enough.
Not enough. Yeah, it was actually Student Against Bigotry who discovered that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I thank student government a lot for what they're doing, you know, getting these resolutions to push forward. But it's mainly Student Against Bigotry who's doing the work behind it and everything.
So that was the first one.
Yes. And then the second one is addition of a multicultural liaison officer and sensitivity training for Iowa State police officers. So the Iowa State Police Department has an LGBT liaison officer, but we don't have a multicultural one. And so there's an obvious push for that as well. Number three, addition of an online diversity awareness course for incoming students, similar to that of Title IX and alcohol EDU training. So, again, just speaking on another online training where people are aware of these diversity issues, you know, coming into a predominantly white institution.
Mm-hmm.
And then four, improve existing cultural centers and consider the needs for others based on student feedback. So cultural centers, meaning the multicultural center in the Memorial Union of Iowa State. When you walk in, so there is obviously titled Multicultural Center, but when you walk in there, maybe it doesn't feel so much as a multicultural center. There's paintings and there's pottery, but there's no real, like, when you just look at it, you probably wouldn't even notice it's a multicultural
mm-hmm,
center.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I know that there's, like, a Martin Luther King, a big painting, beautiful Martin Luther King painting, but it's stuck all the way in the back of the center. So maybe get it even just by the simple fact of moving that forward and getting more visible multicultural pieces in the center would be great.
And there are also centers mm-hmm. For particular
yes.
Populations. Mm-hmm. There's a black student.
Black Cultural Center.
The exact name of it. But that's kind of off campus and not mm-hmm. well supported. And,
yes.
And, okay, so this is all related to that as well.
Yeah, so the Black Cultural Center, which is on Welch, but it's all the way, I think, towards the towers, in between Welch and the towers, which is Wilson and Wallace residence halls. And so
it's on the edge of campus.
Yeah. Yes, edge of campus. So that center isn't really available to students at all times. We would like it to be, but because it's so off campus, maybe there isn't enough staff to keep mm-hmm. it open all the time. And then obviously improvements to it. And then there's also a Latino center. It's called El Centro, and there's not really – nobody really knows about it mm-hmm. because it's literally smaller than this studio. And that's really sad because we mainly only use it for a storage space. That's all that we really use it for now, because you can't really have any large meetings in there mm-hmm. for, let's say, Latino student organizations. We've tried to before, and it gets super hot in there real quick. So we would like to have a bigger Latino center in the future mm-hmm. if possible. Obviously, we need funding for that and the right allocations for funding and proposals and all of that. So if we decide to tackle that on, if not, we will leave it to the freshmen to tackle that on since they would be here longer. And it would be amazing to actually see that improve and grow.
Right.
And then the last one is establish multicultural-based non-residential learning communities in each college and provide the sufficient resources for each community. And right now, I think it's just College of Veterinary Medicine.